It's time for Around the Horn, a look at minor league baseball.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
Walk-offs and wild pitches are a guarantee.
It's wild thing! Ah!
Because
chicks dig the long ball.
Now let's go around the horn.
Play ball!
Guy at 429 on the sports line. Welcome back to the show. Rich Roth, Ed Lane here on a Barlow Steakhouse and Bistro Thursday, and we're going around the horn. The voice of the Salem Red Sox, Ben Gelman, joins us here on the show. What's going on, Ben? How are you?
I am great, guys. It is so good to be with you as always. And boy, you know, it's good to catch up. It's been a madcap week or so, I got to tell you.
Why? Tell us. Explain.
Well, for one thing, we played two extra innings games in the last week and won both of them. But the most impressive part is that the first of those two extra innings games was the longest game by time in Salem baseball history, a 14-inning, 4-hour, and 52-minute marathon. It was absolutely amazing. It was a challenge to call, I will admit that, but it was a lot of fun for sure.
What did you do for extra material as you were calling that game?
Honestly, I blacked out between innings 11 and 13. I'd have to go back to the recording to let you know.
Just dug deep and kept going like a true champ, Ben Gelman.
That's exactly it. That's what you have to do. That's why we do this, honestly.
Hey, Ben, if you're ever in another situation like that, feel free to call Ed and just mention a controversial subject and let him just go.
That sounds like a good idea to me.
It's a great idea.
You can blame it on me.
I try to do it twice a week if I can.
It's like Rich just makes a mental note. Just lobs it up there and knows what's going to happen next.
Time to poke the bear.
Yep. Pretty much.
So, three-game winning streak. You guys are kind of off and running here on the second half of the season and an opportunity to sweep Carolina tonight.
Yeah, and this is a good Carolina team. They were right in the thick of things in the Southern Division in the first half. They're right there in the second half as well. Strong team all the way through. Just got to give a lot of credit to our pitching staff. They have been fantastic, particularly the starters. You look at what Matthew Kent did the other day, Mike Schwarren yesterday, a really strong couple of outings. The bullpen has picked it up, even as Trevor Kelly got promoted up to Double-A. Guys like Steven Nogasek, Adam Lau, Harrison Bautista, everybody's chipping in and doing the little things to make sure that this team wins.
You mentioned all of those elements. How much more important is it, especially with guys getting called up and therefore newer players also making their way onto the Salem Red Sox roster and trying to adapt to, in a lot of cases, that move from low A to high A baseball?
Well, a lot of these guys say the same thing, that baseball is baseball is baseball. That never changes, and they don't have a problem figuring it out based on that. As long as that's the case, they seem to be comfortable. And as long as that's something that they can use to center themselves, I think that it's worked fairly well for them so far. These are guys who have a good understanding of what they bring to the table on an individual basis. They know to play within themselves, and that's something that comes as well from their instruction and coaching. And you have to give a tip of the cap to Joe Oliver, Paul Abbott, Nelson Paulino, and Reed Gragnani for keeping these guys focused no matter what the situation. It never seems like they're outside themselves. They bounce back from adversity so well. It's a smart team. It's a well-run team. These guys are playing great baseball, and I'm looking forward to their stretch run as well.
After tonight's game, you're in Lynchburg over the weekend for a three-game set with the Hillcats. Then you head home for one more with the Hillcats, and you know, that's the second time you've had one of these split series, you know, in the last couple weeks with the Hillcats.
Yeah, it's not so bad, though. I remember my second year in baseball, I was working in Poughkeepsie, New York, and when we were playing against the Staten Island Yankees or the Brooklyn Cyclones, we would do a home-and-home. We'd play one game at their place, come back and play the next day at ours, and we'd do that over the course of 4 days, just 1-1 and 1-1. So it was brutal for the players and for me. I'm packing up my equipment every night, bringing it back, setting it up in a new place where normally you get 3-4 days, and the players just couldn't sleep. It was really bad. So it's going to be nice to have that done with for a little while, and then to have a great homestand against the Potomac Nationals and against the Carolina Mudcats.
Ben Gelman joining us here on the Sports Line. You mentioned that homestand, and it really kicks off in full force on Thursday, a week from now, against the Potomac Nationals with Bark in the Park night. You've also got post-game fireworks next Friday, player poster giveaway next Friday, and then nine innings of winning on Saturday. Which out of those are you most excited to arrive?
Well, Bark in the Park is always special to me. I love having dogs at the ballpark, but I talked about this a little bit in a recent broadcast. My family's dog, Sam, just passed away at the ripe old age, we think, of 18. We're not sure because we adopted him from a pound, and they said he was 3 or 4, so you can reasonably assume he's like 7 because they're just trying to get these dogs out the door. But it really speaks to the need for people to adopt pets, adopt dogs that might not have a home otherwise. Sam was the most loving dog I could possibly imagine, and I know that there are a lot of people out there looking for that new part of their family. So for me, Bark in the Park is always special, and never more so than this upcoming Thursday.
So the shelter is kind of like Little League baseball with the ages, huh?
It is. It really is. And you have to be very careful to know what they tell you. They're just trying to make sure that they can give these dogs a home. Any dog who comes out of a shelter is going to be so grateful to you and your family for making them a part of your family. You won't regret the decision. It's a wonderful thing to do for the dog, and it's an even better thing to do for yourself.
Ben, appreciate the time, man. Thank you much. Good luck against Carolina, and then the series against the Hillcats before you guys return home later next week. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure.
We'll be listening a little bit later on tonight right here on 1240 over in Roanoke. Antonio Davis is going to join us here in just a second. First, got to let you know that this portion of the Sports Line brought to you by Randolph College, Master of Arts in Teaching. randolphcollege.edu/teach. 99% job placement rate after just 1 year in the program. And Ed, it is only a one-year program, August to August. And from what I understand, the August-to-August program is almost full, so if you're considering it, jump in or jump online right now. Go to randolphcollege.edu/teach. 1 year, you could be in the classroom teaching what you love.
99% job acceptance rate.
How do you beat that?
And that's right up there. That's as good as it gets, Rich.
It's up there.
Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good. Right. Antonio Davis, VSPN, kind enough to drop by our show once again. Antonio, always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
are you worn out yet? I mean, you know, the NBA playoffs, then the finals, then the draft, now free agency. It's you know, it seems like things have really picked up now that the season's over.
No, it really has. And then you start talking about the summer league, and you know, these guys got drafted. How important is the summer league? How do they look, you know, their first time out, and all these other different things? But you know, it's an exciting time. This is what the game is about. People think that there is an off season, but believe me, for those 30 teams that have players, especially for the 29 who didn't win the championship, they're scrambling, trying to make their team better, trying to enhance their product and stuff like that. So it is. It's a good time of year.
ESPN's Antonio Davis joining us here on the Sports Line. Give us your overall assessment, especially of some of the surprises. Paul George getting traded, but not to Miami or Boston in the East or LA in the West, but to Oklahoma City. Does this have potential to actually last a long time there? Or is this maybe some deal where you get Westbrook and George figuring out if they can play together and then maybe both jumping ship?
I think you summed it up really nice. I think this is just an experiment to just kind of see what could be. I'm sure the Pacers were you know, their hands were tied a little bit once Paul said he wanted to go out west to L.A. It really took away some of their leverage, I think. So, you know, they had to get back what they had to get back. So I don't know if it's going to work or not. I do think on paper it looks pretty good to me. It doesn't really put them in that upper echelon of teams, you know, in the West. But I do think, you know, they were, what, sixth last year. OKC was sixth. They could be right around that again, sixth or fifth or something like that. And if they happen to win that first round, then it can be, you know, it can get very interesting. And really depends on how some of these other teams start, you know, taking shape. Because if L.A. or any of these other teams, the young guys really start clicking and two guys can go there and really make a difference, then, you know, maybe both of them can leave. I haven't heard one way or another. The only thing I do know is Paul George will be a free agent. So if things don't work out, we can only assume that, you know, he will take his talents to L.A.
Antonio, let me ask you this. I mean, you know, you're a great player in the league, veteran. What are your feelings? What's your impression of the way that the league and the way these teams are being shaped nowadays, with players basically deciding, you know, hey, let's get together, I want to play with this guy, let's create this, you know, and the term super teams being thrown around a lot, and it just seems like it's a lot different now than it used to be. Is that in and of itself a fair statement?
Yeah, I think so. It is different. I don't want to say it's good or bad or better or worse. It's just different. You know, we didn't have social media like these guys have now. We didn't have, you know, I never played against, say, a Charles Oakley or any of the guys I came up with. We didn't work out in the summer or any of that kind of stuff. These guys are connected a little bit more, so there's more conversation about, you know, as a free agent, where are you going, or you know, there was never a banana boat situation when I played, where you see so many different superstars kind of hanging out in the summer or over the holiday or whatever the case may be. But as far as super teams, I don't think it's bad for the league. It's bad for, you know, maybe for some situations with fans. You know, fans seemingly want this dramatic, you know, if there's the playoffs, they want this dramatic, you know, seven game series where somebody hit the shot at the buzzer and blah 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 blah. Well, it's not always going to be like that, but you just like you watch the, you know, Showtime Lakers or those Celtics teams or, you know, San Antonio or whomever it is, you know, there's always going to be that perfect scenario where a group of guys get together, next thing you know, they're beating everybody. You know, Golden State, people could talk about what they want, but I think you give some credit to management, you give some credit, there's a little bit of luck, and then there's a, you know, there's a Kevin Durant situation. It's just a perfect mix of everything. So we'll see what happens in the next few years. I think it'll always be those storylines, because now it's, you know, who's going to knock Golden State off this pedestal? You know, which team now is going to form? I always thought this year, you know, if next summer there's going to be some huge free agents available. And if that one player go to the right situation, you know, Golden State may not be there. I know they're very talented, but it literally, you can have one player go to one team and things could be different.
What do you think will ultimately have a bigger impact, Antonio, on the free agent outlook next year with the Lakers being mentioned so highly? Is it the lure and the allure of the Los Angeles Lakers franchise and brand and city and what that status represents? Or is it the current state of ownership and management that has handcuffed that and in a lot of cases seemingly prevented them from attracting big names?
Well, I think it was a huge deal to get Magic Johnson in there. You know, seemingly people respect him and are willing to sit down and at least have a conversation. So you hear a lot about that perception being changed, that, you know, Jeannie Buss, or, you know, they're getting things together where at least people would now sit down and have this conversation with them, whereas before, a lot of players just didn't even sit down and have that conversation. And I think a lot of that just had to do with the state of the team. Guys want to go somewhere where they can win, where they have a chance to compete and win, you know, night in and night out. So, you know, if you're talking about money, the money number is so big now that, I mean, it is to the normal person, but there's not a huge difference between $130 and $170 million, just a ton of money. So if I can take this $130 and go over here and I got a chance to win and be a part of something special, maybe one day win a championship, then I'm going to do that. You know, I'm not going to let how much money I'm going to make determine where I'm going to go, because I don't want to go somewhere and take more money and be miserable because I'm losing. So I think it's just going to be about, LA will attract, you know, some big free agents next year if those young guys come together, things come together, and they are, you know, trending up where they're winning games, they have a chance to, you know, whether they make the playoffs or not, I don't think is as important, but they got to win some basketball games, and they got to be playing the right way. And then maybe you see one or two big-time free agents come in there with a mixture of those young guys, and they're, you know, next thing you know, they're really good over the next few years.
And that obviously is still a year or so away. Talking with Antonio Davis of ESPN here on the Sports Line, great NBA career, really began in most notably maybe with the Indiana Pacers. That's certainly where I remember you most from, Antonio.
Yeah.
But you know, the Lakers, you know, we're probably looking a year away. I mean, you mentioned Golden State and what they've done and how everyone's chasing them. Cleveland obviously seemed to be the closest team, but they've had some issues, general manager, and, you know, not really doing much so far in free agency. The Knicks seem to be an absolute disaster. The Celtics with Danny Ainge seem to be making some moves. I mean, you know, the Timberwolves now, you know, getting Jimmy Butler. I mean, a lot of stuff's going on. I don't know that anybody's necessarily getting closer to Golden State, but, you know, there's a lot going on. What are you most interested to see how it works out? And it could be, you know, real good or, you know, a train wreck like the Knicks. But what really has captured your interest the most over the course of the last week or so?
That Chris Paul to Houston was baffling to me a little bit. I do understand that you need, you know, some players together in order to be competitive, in order to win. Maybe they thought they were going to get one other player, whether it was Paul George or whomever, but I didn't understand it. So I'm just curious to see how those two guys play together. We talked about OKC, where, you know, how will Russ and Paul George play together? Some people think it's awful. Some people think it's great. I think it's going to be very intriguing. I think they have a chance to be very good. They can be that team where if Paul George stays, if Russ stays, and you get one more player, then we're talking about a team that can be very dangerous. The Timberwolves team, like you said, it's intriguing because you have, you know, young talent. Then you throw in a Jimmy Butler, you throw in a Taj Gibson, you throw in Jeff Teague. Now, you know, they look totally different. But I don't, maybe on paper, but I don't know that they're going to come out and automatically start winning games. But I do think that they're going to be a playoff team, and they're going to be very dangerous. You know, you're not going to want to see them in that first round. So I love all the storylines. I think it'll be great, but I still think we'll end up seeing Cleveland and Golden State again if Cleveland can kind of keep it together. You know, that's just the way it's going to be. Now, next year, I think it'll be totally different. I don't think we'll see the same teams in the finals. With all those big-time free agents out there, there's going to be, like you said, a couple guys get together, they're going to go somewhere, and they're going to make a huge splash because somebody's going to want to beat this Golden State team.
ESPN's Antonio Davis talking NBA with us on the Sports Line. What about the Wizards? You mentioned teams positioned. Celtics are gaining everybody's attention, obviously more so now with the Gordon Hayward signing. But the Wizards, is that a team that has enough, or is it just Wall and Beal and not nearly enough surrounding them?
I don't think it's enough. You know, they definitely have to add another piece. You see these teams now, it's just not about two guys. You got to have at least three, if not a fourth guy who's at least an all-star to come in and make a big splash. You know, obviously, if you don't have a LeBron James, you better have a couple other guys who could take up the slack in other areas. I was surprised that they didn't, you know, they really didn't make a ton of moves. And then, you know, there's a chance that they can lose Otto Porter. So, or they did lose Otto Porter. So it'll be interesting to see how they regroup and what they do this year, being that, you know, hey, they really didn't make a ton of moves. And I'm not one who believes you have to make a ton of moves. Sometimes you just got to be still, keep everything intact. And then maybe next year you go out and you try to find, you know, keep John Wall there, and then you try to find that next big name where you can go out and compete in the East.
One more for you, Antonio, and we appreciate your time as always. The Milwaukee Bucks, the Greek Freak, I mean, you know, rumors starting now that the clock is ticking and he may be planning, you know, a way to get out of Milwaukee if things don't really break right. And, you know, we've got a local interest there with Malcolm Brogdon winning Rookie of the Year after, you know, a great career at UVA. Your thoughts on, you know, on Brogdon a little bit, but, you know, also the Bucks in general. I mean, is this one of those teams that a couple years from now could be real good, or, you know, are they going to kind of, you know, fall into the category of maybe Utah, you know, where the big stars, you know, wind up once they get to that point where they can go somewhere, they wind up going elsewhere?
Yeah, well, I'm Malcolm Brogdon actually is, I live in Atlanta. He went to school with my son. They played together for a year. So I knew this kid was going to be very special. I didn't know he was going to be this special, but I knew he understood the game. He had a great work ethic. I loved his demeanor on the floor. You know, just a good overall kid. So I knew he was going to be special. I'm glad he stayed in school 4 years to show people that, hey, you don't have to be a one and done. You don't have to be in 2 years or 3 years. You can go and come in with a very mature basketball game and make a huge splash. Now, we all know that Joel Embiid, if he would have been happy, would have probably been a different story. But the fact that Malcolm came in and, you know, took a starting job and did all this other stuff speaks volumes, and I think he's just going to continue to get better. Milwaukee has this lure about them because Jabari was hurt, and then Middleton was hurt. So they never had both of those guys playing together along with Giannis, along with now Malcolm. So now he'll have another year of experience. All this other stuff coming together, I do think they need another superstar or another star in order to compete. But once again, we're talking about a young team that's one player, maybe two players away. So, yeah, they have to keep it together. I think they have to, you know, have to do well next year. They can't be at the bottom of the heap, barely making the playoffs. But I think if they somehow jump up into that middle where they're four or five, then I think, you know, Giannis definitely stay. They get that piece they need. And this is a team we're going to see, you know, trending up, you know, as knocking on that door to beat Cleveland. And it's going to be very interesting.
Antonio, great stuff. We appreciate your time so much. And thank you. Enjoy the summer. We look forward to catching up again down the road.
Thank you. You take care. I appreciate it.
Antonio Davis, ESPN, joining us here on the Sports Line. Knows Brogdon.
You loved hearing that.
Quick break. We're coming back. Stick around.